Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Our sermon series is entitled Healing and Wholeness. Our speaker today is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar at St. James. The talk is entitled The Role of the Holy Spirit. The readings this week are taken from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 6a, and 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 1, and then continuing from verse 4 to 11. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is God's word to Isaiah in chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called the priests of the Lord. And you will be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. That was the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we explore the gift of your Spirit to us, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to grow in all that you have for us, for our community and for our world. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So good morning and good to see you again. If you've not been here last week, we've just started this new series called Healing and Wholeness. So let me start with a question. What if I told you God's plan is not just to forgive sins or transgressions, to reconcile us to himself, but it is to make everything whole again. That's what we started to explore last week with healing and wholeness. They're not just side issues, they're central to God's plan of renewal. They are at the heart of who He is and what He is doing right now. Yes, at the heart of healing is forgiveness, and we saw it in the story we explored last week with the healing of the paralytic man, that forgiveness was the most important. But from that forgiveness flows restoration. And for him, he was not just restored physically, but he was restored into his community. And so wholeness is all about God's work of restoration emotionally, psychologically, physically, spiritually. That's why when we pray for body, mind, and spirit. The whole of who we are, but also the whole of creation. So healing and wholeness are not just private blessings, they're signs of God's victory. They're proofs of His presence, God with us. And they are glimpses of what is to come and of His ruling that is already breaking in today. Yes, not every healing will happen on this side of life. Complete wholeness awaits the resurrection, when God will make all things new. And this is the tension that we live in, the already and the not yet. But here is the truth, that the ministry, the service of healing and wholeness is not optional. It lies at the very heart of our calling as God's people. And so the question today before us is, how does that healing continue in the life of our church? How do we join in God's desire to heal and restore? And the answer we're going to explore today is with the presence, the direction, and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've spent some time about the Holy Spirit last year, if you remember. So this is a snapshot of our YouTube channel, where all the preaching about the Holy Spirit are still present. Thank you very much, Martin. So you need to scroll a little bit down. It's last year, around middle of the year. So have a look, because there we really took time to understand the works, the identity, the desire, the purpose, the role of the Holy Spirit. But today, let's pause to one aspect, and then let's look at our passage. And it's always important to remind ourselves that when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we are talking about a person. We're not talking about a vague force, an impersonal energy in the world or in the universe, a little bit like, you know, the force in Star Wars. That's not the Christian understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, with the Father and the Son, always present, always active, always working with harmony with the plans and the purposes of God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's why in our scripture, right at the beginning, the first two verses, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God, or in the Hebrew translation, the word says the Ruha, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the water. And then we have the rest of that account of the coming of our world with purpose, with direction, with beauty, and that's the Spirit and God Himself presence. God speaks, the Word is present there, God the Creator and the Spirit. All are active and present, sweeping over chaos to bring order, life, and beauty. And that same work continues today. Healing and wholeness are the Spirit's creative touch in harmony with God the Father and God the Son. Reordering lives, setting people free, renewing purpose and direction, making something beautiful where there was once brokenness, teaching, instructing, comforting, leading. So we have this picture in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit being sent by the Father on the request of Jesus, coming on the first believers at Pentecost, helping them to bring about the purposes of God, being a comforter to them, a counselor, a helper, an advocate. Jesus told his close disciples that they will receive the Holy Spirit. And that is still ongoing to all those who walk with God. The Spirit is that presence, that personal presence of God with us today, making Jesus real, active, and transformative. So what are the evidence of the Spirit's presence? Well, Paul reminds us that no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that enables us to see who Jesus truly is, to understand his identity and what he did on the cross. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to see in Jesus that through him, God was reconciling the whole world, me included. It helps us to understand who Jesus is. It helps us to follow Jesus, to give us our loyalty and allegiance. The Holy Spirit enables us to live differently, to make choices and priorities that reflect the life of Jesus in us. And like a tree, a healthy tree bears healthy fruits. So we have that passage in the New Testament about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the kind of thing you will see grow and mature in a Christian life: love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are daily evidence that the presence of the Holy Spirit is at work in someone's life. But the Spirit also equips the church with gifts, abilities that God is giving you and me to serve one another, to serve the community, to make a difference in our world. A difference that will bring healing and wholeness, that will build faith, and that will advance God's desire and intentions. And so we have those three kind of main windows in the Bible, in the New Testament, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have Ephesians 4, we have Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12, which is the reading we have this morning. And it's important to read the difference. Now, there is lots of commentary about that, about the kind of similarities in some of those readings, the differences. But in the main, most agree that Ephesians 4 and Romans 12 are mainly about kind of more like long-term giftings that God gives to you and me. Roles that maybe grows as you're part of a church, a role of leadership or a role of teaching or a role of preaching, or the role of mercy and helping, of service. And we can see that growing in our own church. People who have maybe the ministry to stand here to teach, people in the home groups who are able to open the scripture and help others to grow in their faith. But it's not more important that those who are behind the counter serving coffee and being part of the hospitality and making this place a place of beauty, like the flower team, like the bells, ringing the bells and telling still the world there is a church alive. All those are gifts inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they're all important. But in those two passages, Ephesians 4 and Romans 12, it's more about roles. And it's not for life, you might have a service or a role for a few years and then there is a change of direction, but they have some continuance, something like that. The reading today often is commented as more situational. It's something that you receive for a moment and for a time and a place. It's often commented that it's in the kind of space of worship at the time of Corinthians, where they were gathering together, that the Holy Spirit will show himself, manifest, and we'll see that word is quite interesting. You know, it's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the believers to grow and for the skeptics to know that God is present within them and in their midst. And so it's a little bit different. It's the gift that can be released in any of us at any time. It's not something, in a sense, a gift is you never work for it, but it's not something that, like a ministry, you know, there is a part of working and growing. That's a bit different. So what do we have here? Well, first, the reminder is that although there are different kinds of gift, it's the same Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that provides and distributes as he wish. There are different kind of service, the same Lord, different kind of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So God distributes gifts the way he chooses. All gifts matter. It's none measure spirituality or rank of believers. And there is diversity. Diversity, but also unity. It is God at work. And the gifts are given for the common good. As a Christian, we can mature, and maybe as people seeking or visiting, they can come a little bit closer to God, realizing God is real here. He's at work. I want to know more. And so we have this word in our reading. Paul says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And that Greek word is to bring to light, to shine, to make visible. It's like saying, it's near I can touch the reality of the Holy Spirit. I can point to real answer, to real experiences. It's made plan for all to notice. And so we have this list, and we're going to take some time slowly. Because as a church, we want to grow in our faith and our belief and our experience of the Holy Spirit. When we do prayer ministry after the church, when you're in your life groups, when you pray for one another, when you're in the community and God is using you to pray with someone, to think about a situation and to pray into it so that the Holy Spirit can do its work. And so it says, to the one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguish between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So what is message of wisdom? It's a Spirit given practical discernment about how God wants to proceed. It could be because of a complex situation. So it's not human wisdom. Sometimes God gives us abilities, studies. We can be a good psychologist, we're a good doctor, and we make wise decisions in certain areas. But that's supernatural. A little bit like a GPS that's so good that the hardest routes, they will find a way through. It shows the best way when it's a bit confusing. And so as you pray, sometimes you led to test, to maybe, I think the Holy Spirit might be saying something like this as a way forward, a wise word. Maybe it's a choice about work, a reality in family situations. What is the next step that would be wise, that would be Spirit-led? And that happens when we pray with one another and for one another. Now, it's always in alignment with Scripture, with what we know. And we need to be very aware of becoming like a deterministic advice. It's not about our good advice. It's about taking time with God in prayer and sensing that there is a message of wisdom that maybe we've received. What is a message of knowledge? Well, knowledge is a piece of information about a person or a situation that you couldn't have known naturally. It's something that you receive, and you're not even surprised, says, you know, and that happens, for example, when as a prayer ministry, we pray before the service, and we ask God, would you give us a word of knowledge, if there is one? And that's maybe a situation that's unknown to the group, and they share it freely in faith. And I don't know if you remember when we started the healing ministry, and it was Anne Tuckley, a great woman of faith, and we were praying, and she said, I think during this service there will be someone with an issue with her hand or his hand. No, I had to look at the medical term, because she knew the medical term, and I'd never heard it. Carpal tunnel syndrome, yeah, you know that carpal tunnel. She was that precise, as I feel God is saying. And we shared it, and during prayer ministry, someone came and says, this is me. And the person was really worried because had an interview, and she had it many, many years ago, and she was worried that it was coming back, and she wouldn't be able to do the work that she was supposed to do for that interview. And it was just a great encouragement that God knew that we were able to pray. She knew God was in control. That's a word of knowledge we couldn't have known before. What about faith? Faith is different in that context of saving faith, the faith that grows in our belief in God and His mercy and His grace and His guidance. It's more like a God-given confidence in for a particular situation or a particular project, something that might be so big it really requires faith to get through, to persevere. It could be a new project, it could be a church plant, it could be, that's a gift of faith, someone who says, I believe God is leading us to do this, and it's not because a person is more spiritual or has greater faith, it's a gift, and we need to be open to that. Sometimes it's quite, it requires courage. I don't know if you remember the story that Donna Wilkie shared. Donna and David was our curate, and one day she shared a story, I think it's in the church, saying that they had struggles to have a child, and during a prayer ministry, a person says, I believe God is saying me, maybe it's a kind of faith and knowledge, you're going to conceive, you're going to have it. And she was so mad because it was such a long time they tried, she wanted to hit him. I mean, I don't know if I would I would have that courage to say. But she became pregnant. No, again, cautions. I think I would struggle with that. But maybe that person knew about how to discern a gift of the Spirit in the prayer, and that happened. He had the faith that God would make it happen. Maybe it's not too far from our story in Abraham, when he says, you know, Sarah, you're going to have a child in next year. And she was laughing. What about the gifts of healing? Now, it's very interesting in the gifts of healing that in the original, it's a double plural, gifts of healing. And so I thought it reflects something of our story last week. He comes for a physical healing, but he first received the most important, forgiveness, and then physical. They all come together. Their gifts of healing means it's an ongoing process, starting with forgiveness, and then it grows into our lives. Healing comes afresh in different forms. We have different needs, emotional, relational, psychological, physical. And so that's God enabling us to pray, to persevere when we hear situation, when we hear people needs healings of body, mind, and spirit. We pray into those. And we celebrate even small improvements, praying for friends, for neighbors, for colleagues, with expectation and gentleness. No cautions. We don't promise or guarantee a physical healing unless there is a spirit of faith. I don't know how it works. But I think we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious because we are in this already and not yet. And we are in this mystery that when we pray for healings, healings happen sometimes, but not all the times. But we know that when we don't pray about healings, nothing will happen. So we are in that mystery, and we need to continue to trust God's sovereignty. Miracles. Well, miracles is a visible demonstration of God's power. It's something much more sudden. Something our brothers and sisters in Africa do experience. Signs of power. Amazing healing, miracle healing, that could not be understood by natural medical terms. But it happens to us also. In my curacy, we had someone who had to be rushed to hospital with a major, major brain bleed. And the doctor says, 90%, it's not going to go. The whole church came together and prayed. After 1 week, she was in coma. After 2 weeks, still in coma. After 3 weeks, she woke up. The doctor would say, you know, the best we can hope is that, you know, most probably she would not be able to speak, maybe not very conscious. It took months and months, but speech came back. She was able to walk again. She was able to recover, not fully, not 100%. I think it was a miracle, God answering the prayers of his church. But it could be more instantly, it could be a deliverance from oppressive kind of powers. Prophecy. Prophecy is that in God's spirit-inspired message that speaks deeply to you. It's as you pray, someone says, I sense God is saying this. And it just hits you. You know something of God's love, you know something of God's grace. Or maybe it confirms something that you knew God was telling you and you were putting it off, you were delaying it. That's prophecy. It's not about the future. It's often something that God is already doing in you, and he used someone else just to confirm, just to affirm, just to direct. Discerning of spirit. That's so important when we pray about the direction, that we discern. Is the ID a human ID? Is it a God ID? Is it an evil thought, a direction? And so as we pray, we need to have that, you know, maybe someone has that gift of discernment, says, I'm not sure, we haven't really listened or heard God. Maybe we need a bit more time in prayer and discernment. Maybe we need time so that we all agree that there is a sense of direction that we all share, and we can say, we think God now is in it. It's not just my idea, or it's not just my thought. It's that ability, sometimes in situations, to recognize, to discern if something is of God or not of God. Someone compared it, it's a little bit like an airport security scanner. It reads what's really inside. It reads what's really inside. Maybe on my own motivation. It scans the room, it scans our motivations. It's so helpful as we pray pastorally, for pastoral care, that we sense how best to pray, how best to direct, how best to care. Sometimes it's about places. Sometimes we realize there is an issue in this place and we need to pray. And then we have the two last one, tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, this could be a whole preaching, so I'm not going to say too much, but that I believe in the reality of tongues, and in our prayer ministry, some people receive that gift, and it just helps direct, raise sometimes the faith, the situation. But of course, if we have that in a service, someone might receive the gift to lift up our worship, but we need interpretation. Someone else then will receive an interpretation. It's not a word for word. It's not like, you know, if I speak French, you will hear French and you know in English. It's more you know what it was about and you say it. And I have experience in a free evangelical church. I was so surprised. You know, they were singing and And I've experienced many misuse of it. And so someone was speaking in tongues and said, oh, no, that's it again. You know, it's just... And then someone interpreted, and it was so beautiful. And the worship just was transformed and changed. So I do believe those gifts are gifts for the common good, to lift up, to build up. So in conclusion, our question today is, how does the healing, the wholeness continue in the life of the church? How do we join in God's desire to heal and to restore? And the answer is by the presence, the direction, the power, by being open to the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He's sent by the Father on request of Jesus to all who acknowledge Jesus as their Lord, and he gives gifts to us as he pleases. And every gift of the Spirit is a manifestation of God's loving purpose made visible, tangible. Might be wisdom that brings clarity and direction, knowledge that uncovers hearts, faith that stirs courage and makes things happen, healing that restores, prophecy to encourage, discernment to protect, tongues and interpretation that magnifies God. So none of these are for private glory. All are to build up the church and to bear witness to Christ in our world. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifested when we pray with each other and for one another. And so we pray and we ask God, please use our prayer ministry to bless the church. And the prayer ministry is not something says like a label, or he goes to prayer ministry because there is a big problem with him and now he needs prayer. Actually, those who come to prayer are the ones who knows God's goodness and are open and who are humble enough to say, I need God's grace, and I've experienced God's grace in the past, and I'm going to experience it more. So we want to see it grow as the most natural thing we do, part of our worship, as the way we sing, the way we listen to God's word. We also come with our needs, with our brothers and sisters, believing that together the Holy Spirit is going to give gifts in that space to make a difference. But that also should be a reality of your life group, the places you meet during the week, when you pray with one another and for one another, to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to use one another in amazing ways to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to heal, and bring wholeness. But we also should pray privately for our friends and neighbors and community, and expect God to lead maybe a conversation, maybe a place where we can then pray and we can be now an instrument of God's grace to them. So this morning, my encouragement is not to shrink back, to open ourselves to the person of the Holy Spirit, to open our minds, our hearts, and our voices, that God may work through us in fresh and surprising ways, and that his presence will be more and more tangible, manifested among us, for the glory of Jesus, who brings us to God our Father. So maybe to finish, let us pause, and just with simplicity, as a church, to say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.